Luke chapter 11 and look at verse 5 in your Bibles. Luke 11 and verse 5. Now Jesus speaks a parable to his disciples and he begins by saying, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For I have a friend of mine in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not arise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will arise and give him as many as he needeth." So this parable is talking about intercessory prayer, and Jesus is teaching his disciples the necessity of praying for others and the importance of it. You say, what's intercessory prayer? It's praying to God on behalf of others. And the importance of it is calling divine power from heaven that God may answer in such a way where he's intervening in the life of others. That's interesting in itself that we have the ability to intervene in someone's life through intercessory prayer. God has given us that ability to do it, to call upon him that he may interrupt, disrupt, intervene in any way to help perhaps an erring brother or a sister, to help one that perhaps is sick, one that is struggling with sin, one that is simply caught up with sin, and perhaps one that is in need of wisdom from God. And it may not be somebody that's asked you for prayer, although that's good, by the way. If you ask someone to pray for you, that's not a sign of weakness, that's a sign of strength. Okay, so if you can get in the habit of asking people to pray for you, especially people that you you trust, that's a good thing. Amen. Don't think it's a weakness, it's a strength to actually have the ability to come up to someone and say, please pray for me. And for whatever reason, that person is asking for prayer, that's a strength. It's not a weakness, especially if it's a decision that is, it's got to change your life. You can't be indifferent about this. You don't want to wing it. You want to hear from heaven, and you can have people praying for you as well. And a man of God once said, we tend to use prayer as a last resort. But Jesus wants it to be our first line of defense. We pray when there is nothing else we can do. But Jesus wants us to pray before we do anything at all. Okay, and that's so true. Prayer ought not to be our last resort. Prayer ought to be the first thing that we do, not only in our lives, but also in the lives of others. When we hear something that is of a concern, I think the good thing that we ought to do is pray for that particular person. We must make our prayers purposeful. Purposeful prayers when we intercede for others. And so it's important that we do. Someone called it is a holy occupation. Prayer is a holy occupation. Now, I want to just point out a few things from this parable. First of all, that intercessory prayer must be an act of unconditional love. It has to be done out of love. And it is done out of love, and it should be done out of love. Jesus addresses the right motive for praying in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember that when he introduces prayer to them and how to pray? He also deals with the motive of praying, and I think it's actually spiritually healthy for us to come before God every now and then and make sure that our prayers are given in good motives. I think that's healthy to do that. To scrutinize our hearts and minds and say, Lord, why am I praying? Is it because it's a have to, a must that Christians do? Or really praying for someone's need? Because, you know, as Christians, we can fall into the habit of praying because that's what we do. Muslims pray 5 times a day, right? Yes, sir. Our church prays on Wednesday night together. That's a habit. We meet on Sunday morning, Sunday night. That's a habit. And sometimes we can do habitual things that are good within our heart. And our motive is just going through the motions. And how many times we stand and say, God, help us from just going through the motions. Having prayers with no heart won't hit the ceiling, let alone heaven. And so we've got to make sure that when we come before God, our prayers are an act of love, unconditional. When we live a frustrated Christian life, is because we do things for the wrong reasons. anything, whether it's soul winning or reading our Bibles, when we just go through the motions, our life is frustrated. There's no power. There's no peace. And so to come under God's scrutiny and say, God, search my heart. Why do I do what do I do? What do I do? What is it I get up and pray and read my Bible? Why is it I get up and pray for other people? Why do I do all these things? Because I don't want it to be like a merit kind of thing that I did good before you, although he's pleased with that. I want to have a result. There ought to be an outcome. There ought to be a goal. And the goal is seeing people's lives changed, transformed. God moving in and seeing it's not just about us. Prayer's not about us. Prayer's about seeing people's lives changed, people's desires, heavenly desires met, needs met, seeing that erring brother come good. That's what we ought to be praising God for, not praising the fact that we prayed for that person, although it's exciting to see answered prayer, amen? Yeah. Hear and see it. It's exciting, but it's more about that person that we're praying for that God cares about. And it's an act of love. It's self-sacrificing. He woke up at midnight. Midnight. Some people are asleep at midnight. Amen. But he gets up at midnight. It takes time to pray for others. Sometimes it takes sleep time. Inconvenient time. Time that we just feel perhaps tired, but we know that we need to pray because we hear someone's got cancer and they're on their deathbed. Sometimes we just stop what we're doing to pray. Maybe it takes a lunch break that we don't eat and we pray. Whatever it is, intercessory prayer ought to be sacrificial. It's done out of love. Selfless. For a friend, it wasn't for himself. By the way, there's nothing wrong with praying for yourself. There's nothing wrong with praying to God for your needs and for direction and so forth. But a selfless act is praying for someone else's need and thinking of that person. It's easier to get up and pray for yourself, especially when you desperately need prayer, answered, direction and so forth. But man, it takes selflessness to pray for someone else, to plead on their behalf. It really does. And I guarantee you, once you get in the habit of doing that, your prayers will be met. God will take care of them. Even though you pray for them, God somehow meets the needs of your heart when you start getting into a habit of praying for others. He really does. Praying and fasting for others is a selfless act. It's easier to pray and fast for self, but it's harder to pray for others and fast for others. And the reason we might fail in praying for others is because we are consumed with ourselves. We're too busy worrying about ourselves and our struggles and our needs and direction for our lives. And although there's nothing wrong with that, but there needs to become a maturity time where we say, you know what? God has given me victory. God is answering my prayers. And therefore, I need to be praying for others. But constantly praying for me and being so self-conscious about myself and so forth, and so it takes selflessness to pray for others. And second thing, the reason why we were not praying for others could be that we're murmuring about others. You know, people get too busy talking about others, they don't have time to pray for them. And you know what intercessory prayer does? You know what it does? It knits your heart together with people. And when you come and you see the brethren, you're able to look them in the eye and say, how you doing? And because your conscience is not bothering you that you just have been speaking about them the whole week, because you've been praying for them, especially if they've hurt you, said something or didn't say something. You know, it's funny that we get easily hurt, don't we? We easily get offended. And that offense can be a stumbling block in our lives and cause us to have disunity instead of having harmony. And the best way to have unity is to pray for the one that's offended you. Could be a legitimate offense. But sometimes we just think about that offense and say, oh, how dare they? Instead of taking it to the Lord. Right? And just knocking and keep knocking. And this is where we're going to see that intercessory prayer is unyielding in boldness. He came with importunity. Praying for others requires persistence. It's not only selfless, but it has a heart that doesn't give in or give up. It's not easily discouraged. To be persistent is to be determined until someone opens that door. I'm not going to give up until they answer. Do you ever do that and do a knocking? You know that they know that you know that you're out there and they're ignoring you. Maybe knock a little harder and faster, depending who it is. Amen? You don't want to get screamed at. But, that's, you know, by the way, all this is in relation to us praying and seeking God. Did you know this? That we're knocking on heaven's door, we're praying and pleading and persisting with God for our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is about intercessory prayer. This is about the needs of others, the struggles of others, the direction of others. It's not about us. This is about praying for others. The disciples say, teach us to pray. It's teaching them. You know, it's God's heart that we pray for others more than we pray for ourselves. That was the heart of Christ. Again, remember, several weeks ago, we saw the trail of Christ and how he continued to pray for others. And not only persistent. By the way, let me just say this. Persistence requires faith. It requires faith. Why do we doubt when we know we're not right with God and others? We doubt. Why do we doubt when we know it's not the will of God? Why do we doubt when we're not walking in the Spirit? Because one of the fruit of the Spirit is faith. And sometimes we doubt, we give up, we're not persistent because we're just not right with God and we're not right with others and we're not walking in the Spirit of God. And by the way, you can't pray in the will of God if you're not walking in the Spirit of God. And then he was relentless because of his importunity. That has to do more than persistence. It's a word where it simply means to be urgent and earnest and even has the connotation of having the audacity. Like, do you have even the audacity to keep knocking and knocking and knocking? It's unyielding in boldness. That's really just knocking and knocking and persisting and being relentless with my prayers to God for that person. And he teaches them, knock, seek, ask. Why do we give up so easy? Because we don't see anything happen in someone's life, we don't see any change, or we don't see any fruit, so we just give up. But really, in reality, what we're saying, that God is not able to intervene? Yes, he is. He is able to intervene. So we just need to keep knocking and keep pleading and keep asking. But it ought to be united with God's will. He said he rose up and he will give him as many as he needeth. And remember, this is God here. In other words, God is going to answer and meet the need of that prayer for of that person that you have been praying for. So it has to be united with God's will. We have to pray within God's will. It has to be done. God will never answer prayers that are not in line with his will. And if you look at 1 John, it's very clear that this is the confidence that we have of him, that if any man ask according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask. We know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. 1 John 5:16, if any man sees his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, let him ask and it shall be given life for him. See, God wants us to pray for someone that's struggling. And God wants to answer that prayer. It is his will to see that brother restored. It is. As a matter of fact, God lists several things prior to this parable that he wants us to pray for specifically, and specifically in the life of others, that God's will be done in someone else's life. Their need will be met. That they'll be delivered from temptation and from evil. That God will give them the grace to resist evil. That you would forgive them and you'd be forgiven. There's a list that God wants us to be praying for. Obviously, if he gave us a list, that was there, it's a very important list that God wants us to pray. And so we know that the will of God is mentioned in prayer, as that list has been mentioned. And you can't go wrong praying that list for on behalf of somebody. God, deliver us. By the way, he says, our Father, forgive us our trespasses. You know, this is corporate prayer. He's teaching when you get together, you pray for one another. You see the needs of one another and you pray for one another and you see what's lacking in the body. You know what? This is the body of Christ that God wants us to pray together one for another. It's intercessory prayer. It's what we're doing here tonight. And it unifies us. It grips our heart. It knits our hearts together and our hearts with God and unifies his will being done in our life, even as a church. Like there's a few people missing today. You know, Sam, Sally, James, Jonathan wrote me today, said, we miss you already. He's gone because he didn't have the Tuesday class. And this is how a church ought to function. Amen. That you know someone's missing. It's like, you know, waking up in the morning and you find out there's no arm there. Where's my arm? It's gone. Right? That's how the body works. You wait, man, who's missing? That's how it is. That's how it ought to work. You don't just go to church and you just bundy on, bundy off, see you later, did my duties and go. No, it's more than that. God organized the church in such a way we pray for one another. We see God's will fulfilled in each other's lives. The needs are met. I love what this man of God says regarding, you know, does God need us to be praying persistently? I mean, why does God want us to pray persistently and relentlessly? Like God, does God need us to persuade him? Right? So why is God calling for us to... Why? Well, I like what he said. He said, God often waits for our passionate, persistent prayer. It isn't that God is reluctant and needs to be persuaded. Our persistence doesn't change God. It changes us in developing in us a heart and passion for what God wants. Not only knits our hearts together, but it knits our hearts with God. Because we're yearning and pleading for people. You say, Abraham, how did you get that heart for Sodom and Gomorrah? Because it came from God. And you know why it came from God? Because he was walking with God. You just read it right at the end. Not because he's not going to answer and give him because he's his friend, but he's going to answer and give him because of the importunity. But let me say this to you. He was his friend. You can't just do this to anybody's house. They're going to get a shotgun or something. Hey, get out of here. If you don't know him, what are you talking about? You got to know him. You can't just knock like this if you don't know God. And the reason why Abraham can walk so intimately with God and go back and forth for the sake of the righteous, those that were dwelling in Sodom and Gomorrah, is because it's very clear, James says, that he was a friend of God. Very clear. There are illustrations there, but we don't have time for this. But you can go back and see that Jesus prayed specifically. Paul prayed specifically. The centurion, Job, they all interceded. On behalf of Job's an interesting one. He prayed for his friends that bagged him out. And God was pleased with his prayer that he prayed for his friends that bagged him out. God rewarded Job. Job was just praying for his friends. And God says, here's double everything that you lost. Because that's the disposition that God wants us to have. By the way, it's part of the pattern prayer that God wants us to pray. Forgive him. Please, Lord, forgive him. Please. And I believe that's what Job did. He was interceding on those that hurt him. And he can do that because he was his friend. You know what Oswald Chambers once said? God wants us to talk to him about unbelievers before we talk to unbelievers about him. May God help us to be persistent and pleading for the souls that we reach on Saturday. I'm struggling to remember the people that I spoke to. And I said, and the Lord said, why did you struggle, Charlie? And I said, Lord, I know why I struggled, because I wasn't praying persistently for him throughout the week. I just prayed for him on that day when I finished outreach, but I didn't pray for him on Monday and I didn't pray for him on Tuesday. So therefore, they're not in my heart to share him with the church. I have to look at my emails. Taylor, Luke, and I forgot the other person. I'm trying to remember. I could have actually just like this if I was praying for him with importunity. You know what Samuel said just before he was going to die? His last words to Israel, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in